beneath us will be at a lower in Southall, 2 p.m. Reza Khan will be at Sparkling Point in Southall, beginning at 3. Newfound Glory will be at Paramount in Huntington Village, 7 p.m. They Might Be Giants will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Debbie Harry will be at the Carlisle Cafe, Manhattan, 8:45.
Hey, it's Lister right here. The deal. Here's the deal. We need a steady flow of our funds throughout the year. You can't afford to give something that you're comfortable with. Let me give you a for example. $5 a month. Every month it kicks in for 12 months straight. Or $6 a month. $6 every month. Boom, boom, boom. Do it now. Call 631-632-690.1 FM. That's 631-632-6901. And we can make perfect arrangements that you'll feel comfortable with WSB being your super PAC to watch your back. Gracias.
Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, you're listening to the radio. And we're broadcasting on the radio from the frequency 90.1 FM. This is WSB Stony Brook. The time is precisely 6:02 p.m., and it is Tuesday night, and that means I'm delighted to share with you Off the Wall.
Thank you.
well. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. This is Emmanuel over here, and
I'm Kyle over here.
Okay, so you're going to be Kyle. All right. You don't want me to, what you were saying in the coffee shop, that stays there.
All right, this is Pee-wee, and I'm your engineer.
You really want to go with that name?
Well,
Pee-wee?
I think...
You really want to be Pee-wee?
There's nothing wrong with being called Pee-wee.
Okay, let me count the ways there's something wrong with being Pee-wee. You know, just the association with Pee-wee Herman alone would be enough to dissuade most people. But just being called Pee-wee in the streets, I think, you know, unless you're a big, like, 300-pound hulking guy that no one's going to mess with, which I guess people might think you are, but he's not. He really is not.
Well, what about Pipsqueak, then? Does Pipsqueak work?
We already have a Pipsqueak at the station.
Oh, man.
And he's not one to be trifled with.
You're right. You're right. You got a point.
Pee-wee. Wow. You surprise me every day, Kyle. Every day. There's something else. But, you know, tomorrow you get the chance to surprise people in person.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I maneuvered over to that very swiftly.
That's skill, everyone. The big fundraising thing.
We have a unique, first of its kind, out meet the public type of event.
Yep.
In a major supermarket here in the local area, and we're getting a huge donation for this effort, and it's really awesome. I'm very excited by it. The whole station is pretty much turning out for this thing. Whole Foods in Lake Grove. For those who don't know, Lake Grove is just adjacent to Stony Brook, a little bit to the south. And they have an outlet there, and they will be donating 5% of their sales for all of tomorrow, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we're going to be there. Kyle and myself are going to be at that Whole Foods.
Sometime during the day, yeah.
3 p.m.
Yes.
Exactly at 3 p.m. We cannot be 1 minute late. It's very clear. It's very, very regimented. 3 to 4, actually, is when we're going to be there. That's our hour. But people are going to be there throughout the entire day. You can come at any time. I have no idea how much a supermarket makes in one day. But I guess we're going to find out. I imagine, you know, I see people online. This could be huge. You know, I've gone there. I've spent $100. So if I were to go there tomorrow and spend $100, that would be $5 to the radio station. So if there are 10 people checking out at the same time, all spending $100, that's 5 times 10. $50. Yeah. And if that goes on all day long.
Right.
You know, it just, the numbers keep adding up. So this could be incredible.
It's a tremendous way to get people out. I mean, people are going to do shopping anyway. So I think the symbiosis there is fantastic for a place like WUSB. And at a time like this, when we are raising lots and lots of money, stuff for overhead, stuff for capital improvements, stuff of all kinds, but mainly to keep this kind of programming, this kind of community thriving and coming at you over the frequency modulation band.
That's right. And this is one of many indications of how things can get better at this place. We spend a lot of time complaining about the things that are wrong, you know, rodents in the ceiling and wires getting frayed and things blowing up and equipment getting old, people getting old, all sorts of things happening that make things more challenging. But you have an event like this. You have all kinds of new projects being planned. You have a whole new group of students that are taking the helm and taking us to exciting places. And you realize that WUSB is something that's always going to be exciting, different, new, and completely relevant to whatever conversation you happen to be having. Not so with those commercial stations, because, you know, that's easily replaced. You can do that on your iPod, you know. You can get the kind of songs they play over and over again, and the lack of content that they pretty much are experts in. It's not hard to do that, but a place like WUSB is very, very different. The things we do aren't duplicated anywhere else.
Definitely, and we're flexible here.
Yes.
We can do all kinds of things. We try to make it an interesting time, and, you know, like, we can bring in the phones. And
hey, that's the phone. But can we get rid of the phone?
Okay, yeah, good. And I mean, this is a living, breathing radio station, and a pretty interesting one at that.
Well, that's because the squirrel is still up there. Once we get rid of that squirrel, it won't be breathing anymore, but it will be living.
So anyway, this is a one of the things that's going to be going on. We're going to be participating. We're encouraging our listeners to participate and participate in the spring fund drive. If you can't maybe come down and participate, you can always support. You can support on the website, WUSB.FM.
That's right. Or you can call us, 631-632-6901. We have a lacrosse game coming up at 6:45. I believe the folks at Quinnipiac are visiting us.
I heard that it is Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
Quinnipiac.
Well, I hope they can handle defeat, because we intend to dish that out.
Yeah, I love that it's... I think lacrosse is pretty much an all-weather sport.
Yeah, it's raining now, but they're...
It's a light rain.
They
it's
like
a mist.
Falling down in the mud.
Well, yeah, you can slide and uh-huh. You know, you recover and get right back up and run across the field. It's I'm sure going to be an interesting one out there. So stay safe, everyone. In all that mud and it ought to be a good game.
Yeah, but victory is paramount.
Yes,
about
Stony Brook
staying safe. It's school honor.
Well, it's a good balance. I mean, stay safe within reason as long as you're winning.
I always thought lacrosse was the scariest game because you have this really hard ball being thrown at high velocities. And I guess they wear helmets, right? I think they wear helmets in lacrosse.
Definitely. I think they wear a full face mask, too.
But that ball can hurt no matter where it hits you, and it's going. It's not like a hockey puck. You know, it's flying through the air. It's not on the ice.
True.
But I'm even scared in the stands, you know, because that ball can get loose.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's happening at 6:45.
So that is, yeah.
Catch all the action here on WUSB.
Exciting programming tonight. Exciting programming. But until then, mm-hmm. You have us.
That's right, yes. You're going to have to deal with us until then. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to actually meet some listeners tomorrow. We occasionally meet listeners in weird places, like overseas and sometimes in the city and things like that. Here we are, home turf. Those of you who are local, those of you who are in the area, make an appointment to come down. Well, you don't have to make an appointment, but in your head, make an appointment and just head down to the Whole Foods in Lake Grove. Anytime tomorrow, and you will see somebody from WUSB.
Yeah, I don't know if it's indoor or outdoor. I don't know what the weather is going to be like.
It's not outdoor. It's not putting it in the parking lot.
No. But there are going to be some musicians playing live, that kind of thing.
WUSB
in and out.
Musicians. We have a lot of musicians here on staff. We are not one of them or two of them, but there are lots of people here who do play music.
That's right, and that'll be an interesting part of the event. People are just kind of... visiting and putting together what they can for kind of an intimate setting there. So it ought to be interesting, and it's a good cause, and it's cool for a store like that to give us a space and let us raise a little bit of money at the same time.
I should address the issue, the elephant in the room, all right, because it does need to be addressed. The rumors about Justin Bieber showing up are unfounded, all right?
So, don't do that. Not on Long Island.
If that's the reason you're coming tomorrow, just to see Justin Bieber, please don't, because I'm telling you right now, honestly, the reports that he might be there are completely unfounded. So don't take any credence in that. Come to see us. I'm sure Justin would he'd appreciate it. He'd approve, but don't come to see him. That's not what he's there for. He's not there. He's not going to be there.
Yes, he's been roasted enough this week.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, hopefully he didn't deck anybody.
Yes, and hopefully he grew up.
So Pee-wee, I can't call you Pee-wee.
Call me Pipsqueak.
I can't even say that. No, why do you want names like this? Kyle's a perfectly acceptable name.
Okay, fine. You can call me Kyle.
There's a lot of Kyles around, I know, but there are, you know, and there aren't very many Pee-wees.
It's a good Kyle. I've noticed there's a lot of bad Kyles around.
There are.
And I just want people to know that there are good Kyles in the world.
Yes, yes. So this week was last week into this week, I guess, was kind of a traumatic week for many of us.
A lot of things flying at us.
Let's go with the flying to start with. Oh boy, you know, it's stressful enough flying in these little sardine cans over the oceans and over the countries and things like that without the pilots trying to kill you.
Yeah, to say the least.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah, that's rough. Apparently they built a road to get up to the investigation area and allow families. Ultimately, families are going to be able to use that road, but they also have been finding memory cards and things.
Oh, my God.
From people who were on the plane, and that was one of the latest things that was leaked.
So there might actually be footage of what was going on in the passenger car. That's horrible to even think about.
What I read today is that a lot of it was unintelligible as far as individual people or anything, and they haven't substantiated the stuff that's being shown, but there were two German and a French newspaper that were shown this video unofficially. They couldn't confirm or whatever, but anyway, it was said that some of that stuff may have been turning up on the site, which, as you can imagine, it's probably going to in a situation like that. But a horrible event, really. If you travel, if you have flown ever in your life, you can definitely imagine the terror. And I mean, gosh, there's been a lot of terrible stuff going on with planes lately, and whether it's mechanical or disappearances or weather.
They still haven't found that plane from last year. They still haven't done that.
It's tough to take. And with this on top of it, it's probably been one of the more traumatizing years, and it's only just begun.
But you know, you say it's been a bad year, but actually,
okay, here we go.
Last year was the lowest ever as far as airline accident rates
ever.
Yeah, that's
isn't that something?
Well, I mean, you know, you hear about things like this.
Right.
And, of course, in your mind, that brings it up into a higher zone. You feel like the last year, I can count four different plane crashes with more than 100 people on board, and that seems pretty bad. But apparently, if you add up smaller plane crashes, they would exceed it normally.
Oh, definitely. General aviation probably opens up a slew of other categories, including experimental spacecraft.
I'm not sure they're counting that. But the International Air Transport Association said the global jetliner crash rate last year was the lowest ever, with, get this, 0.23 aircraft planes destroyed per million flights. What a statistic this is.
Amazing.
0.23 aircraft planes destroyed per million flights. So that means out of 1 million flights, one quarter of a plane is destroyed. One quarter of an aircraft plane. I'm not sure what that is exactly. It's a plane that goes up in the air.
Yeah, you could convert that into like a ratio or percentage or probability.
Aren't all planes aircraft, though? I mean, aircraft plane, that just seems kind of redundant.
Per aircraft, that's like foot pound.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they say the five-year average was more than twice that high. So, you know, you can comfort yourself with that. But you basically, at least for me, I'm just hounded by the images of the nightmares those people must have gone through. And just, it's, you know, there is a lot of stupidity in this as well. There is a lot of stupidity.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first heard that...
When you look at the details, definitely.
Yeah. When we first heard the co-pilot was locked out, I thought the pilot inside had a heart attack or something.
Medical.
And nobody could get in.
Yep.
And what a stupid thing to only have one person in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's common sense. Something could happen to one person, and if you lock the door, the other person can't get in, and these doors are reinforced and made so that nobody can get in. Really, really not very smart. Turns out, of course, it was a bit more deliberate than that. The guy inside had actually deadbolted the door, so it was an intentional act. You have to do, and that's not normal to deadbolt the door like that. But still, there should be at least two people in the cockpit. You told me that in America, that is the rule.
Yeah, my understanding was that was the standard procedure across the states. And as I think about a lot of my own travels and what I've seen, it actually does kind of track. Although a lot of international flights, I'm so far back, you wouldn't be able to see, or I'm not even on the same level as the flight deck. But regardless, I think only in only on domestic flights have I seen that. So it does kind of stand true that maybe they didn't have the same, or from my understanding, they didn't have the same policy in Europe. And here we go.
Well,
but
I think
not anymore.
They're starting to have that policy now. But
one thing,
it's just common sense, folks. You got to think these things through just a little bit. I mean, that's the first thing that I think either of us would have come up with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were a number of procedural things that could have helped, and I guess I'll speak to the larger thing I see in this story, and so far as mental health, but that is one of them. The ability for the door to have that third level of locking that bypasses the time lock. Mm-hmm. Not having a way around that if a senior officer is away from the deck, not having another senior flight crew like attendant or somebody take the place and chat up the guy flying, you know, like that's something I've seen quite frequently on flights, but I guess it had not been in place. There are other things too.
Well, there are three positions in with the doors. Normal, which I guess is just you can open the door. There's unlock. That's what that is. Normal is locked, but you can enter it with a key code or
right.
or some kind of a device. And then there's lock, which means nobody can get in. And they built these doors. They're pull doors. You have to pull them.
Uh-huh.
So you can't really run and bash them because they don't even open them.
Not even with a drink cart.
But, you know, what I'm thinking is if it's in that lock position, it shouldn't be in that lock position unless it's some kind of an emergency. If you activate lock, somebody should be notified on the ground that you've done that. It's the equivalent of a hijack code.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if this is technically possible, but I think the ground should have the ability to override that.
Right. If you could remote wipe a cell phone, why couldn't you change the state of a lock?
You can buzz a door remotely, can't you? So you can do this remotely through radio waves?
Yeah, even like the most minimal of remote things, those capabilities, I think, are actually going to come into effects as a result of this as well. Go on.
You want to hear this quote from a pilot,
sure.
A Dutch pilot with Emirates Airlines. He said this 2 months ago. I hope I never find myself in a situation where I go to the toilet and return to find a cockpit door that won't open. How's that for chilling? Yeah, people were aware this could be a problem. And pilots certainly were aware that this could be a problem.
Right.
So in this particular case, yes, the co-pilot had some mental issues, and apparently those mental issues blossomed on that particular day.
Well, and I'd like to speak to this a little bit. I think the other thing when you start getting into this particular situation is why someone with mental health issues, basically if you fail a physical, why a pilot, somebody responsible for that many people, why they would be allowed medically if they've failed to continue to be a mediator between their employer and the doctor. I think there should be some communication. I think a lot of people are thinking that right now,
mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I don't want to state the obvious, but I think one other thing that I'm really feeling, I think a lot of people are sort of looking at this now. I think it's come up a lot, and we were looking at it pretty hard as a society, but this concept of breaking down,
mm-hmm.
having a breakdown, mentally breaking down. You can call it a lot of things. You can have a panic episode or attack or all of these sorts of things, but the ability to see when people are breaking down or the ability to communicate to others that you are having a breakdown or you're in a real vulnerable place where you could have a mental breakdown and then finding something through that, having guidance and help and off-ramps instead of facing it alone.
And if you think that you cannot have a breakdown, then I think you're the scariest one of all because you don't realize what you're capable of. You don't know how to handle it when something like this happens. All kinds of things can push you into a breakdown. External stimuli, traumatic experiences, personal relationships, or just something chemically inside your brain. It can happen to anybody. And we need to be prepared for that. However, in this particular case, somebody with a history of this, and apparently his particular company did not even know about it because they didn't communicate well between themselves, that's inexcusable. People need to know about this kind of a thing. And you can't have such you can't basically make it the fault of the person when they have these illnesses, but you can't ignore it either.
Yeah, and I think that you can there are ways, you can have mechanisms, you can have ways of structuring employer and employee relationships and communications with health providers without violating German privacy laws and other obvious things. There's certainly going to be some changes in light of this. And I think we talk about this a lot. You've spoken in the past a lot about people getting, terrible word, especially when you're talking about guns, but triggered by things.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in stuck on and mentally you can't confront something. So and we've seen this in so many different stories. So
but it's not only mental illness. People do horrible things for all sorts of reasons.
Right.
Religious
right.
fundamentalism, for instance, you see a lot yeah. of that these days. And something that well, this person would never do this normally. All of a sudden, non-normal circumstances, and they're running off to join ISIL, and, you know, they're doing all kinds of horrible things you never thought they'd do. It's basically, you have to expect certain acts to occur under certain situations, and when people are pushed, either through the doctrine that they are subscribing to, or through some kind of health issue of their own, you need to be prepared for that. And, you know, I'm wondering, Looking at this previously unthinkable situation. Of course, it wasn't the first time it happened. The Egypt Air situation a bunch of years ago, where a pilot nosedived his jetliner into the ocean, killing right. everybody on board.
Right.
It's happened before, but how many other situations are there where we are basically at the mercy of somebody else? I mean, every time you get onto a bus, obviously, you don't hope the bus driver doesn't crack up. Every time you drive down a highway, everybody passing you could easily swerve into your lane because they're having a psychotic episode or just in a bad mood for a split second. All kinds of things can happen. High school shootings, college shootings, office shootings. Every day this is happening. People going nuts in the military. You know, we're putting all this pressure and all of these horrible things onto people's shoulders. And we're seeing people crack up more than ever before. We're giving them easy access to all kinds of weapons. It's sad to see this happening so much. But it's something that I hope we don't get used to. But it is something we have to get prepared for.
Yeah, and I think there is some responsibility. I mean, the kinds of things that are going on in the media in our mental landscape with things overseas and internationally and a lot mm-hmm. of those issues, I think have disturbed a lot of people, and I think there's a little bit of influence there, and with you know seemingly unrelated things, but people get in these drastic modes, and when the rest of society is sort of an echo chamber of darkness, I think it can also contribute. So we need to be there for people. You know, and also be positive and talk about some of the good things about this country and about this world, about mm-hmm. humanity, the hopeful things.
It shouldn't be a stigma, you know, to have mental issues. Everyone does to a degree. But at the same time, you have to balance these things out. And if you do have this kind of a history, there are certain things that you're better off not doing, you know.
Yeah.
In the event that such an episode were to recur.
Right.
But there shouldn't be stigma attached to that, where basically somebody is seen as unstable. But, you know, you don't put so much pressure on them, and you don't put them in such a position where really horrible things can happen. You know, I wonder, what other positions are there? What if the President of the United States suddenly went insane? How much, and I know people on Fox News will say that's already happened, but how much damage could one person do? Imagine this is the person in the White House, and they suddenly have an episode, or any leader of any country. How much damage could one person do? And if it's an incredible amount of damage, if it's something that really could obliterate parts of the planet or the entire planet, that's too much for one person. You need balances. You need safeguards. You need safety checks, because everyone's capable of losing it. Everyone's capable of doing something completely irrational, and if you just have blind trust and give somebody all of this power, eventually, might not be today, might not be next week, but eventually, something really horrible will happen.
Yeah, and I also think just basically the age and it played a role, too. I think anybody who's commanding a plane like that should have a bit more experience in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a responsibility. There's a huge trust thing going on there. And, you know, pilots have a pretty serious role commanding an airship like that. So,
yes.
Anyway, I'm sure it's happening a lot this week in particular, but if you're flying somewhere, thank the pilot as you exit the aircraft for the lift. And,
yes.
You know, tell them you wish they have a good day, something nice.
Yeah, that might be enough just to keep them going a little while longer. But hopefully we never see a recurrence of something like this again.
Yeah, what else?
Oh, we had a building blow up in Lower Manhattan. How about that? That's another traumatic thing that happened. Right in the neighborhood we hold very near and dear, the East Village.
So you heard about that?
Yeah, we saw it happening live on television. It was really awful. A corner we're very familiar with. There's a Palm Free place that is no longer there. And just the neighborhood in general, just seeing a building like that just going up so quickly and realizing that there are people lost in there and pets. The pets, for some reason, really get me because they're just trapped in there. There's no way out.
Yeah.
We walked around on Sunday just in the area. You can't really get too close to it, and you don't really want to.
Right. You were very keen to point out it. We kept our distance, and it kept a good distance because it's not our place to be going and poking around, and I think that sentiment was shared just from what we observed.
Yeah. Just seeing one of the guys who was killed, his face on a lamppost, missing. That was enough for me. I couldn't even bear to see that. It shows you how it just takes an instant of some crazy thing happening for your entire world to change, and for the people in that building or those three buildings, all of a sudden their world is completely altered as a result of either something completely random or, as it may turn out, an act that was really, really stupid, as in somebody tampering with the gas lines. We'll find out if that happened.
Yeah, it's still under investigation as far as we know right now.
So. Yeah, and will be for quite some time. But, wow, it's the best part of Manhattan as far as I'm concerned, and to see that happen to such a close-knit neighborhood is really shocking and traumatic, and hopefully everybody will pull through that. Please look online. There's all kinds of things you can do to help, to donate resources to the people who are homeless or help find people's pets. A couple of cats ran out afterwards. Somebody opened the door and they ran out into the street. So not all the pets were definitely killed in the explosion. So if you're able to somehow help with that, spreading the word, that would definitely ease things for some people.
Yeah, certainly, and it's like you said, a reminder that it just takes an instant and some bit of someone's action to sort of cascade into other people's lives.
Well, the thing that really gets me is that the landlord or the superintendent of that building had told tenants not to contact the police or Con Edison if they smelled gas, but to contact him.
That's right.
And right away, that is something that's wrong. That's sleazy. If you know of things like that happening, don't just accept them, because that's a recipe for disaster. That's exactly what happened. People smelled gas. They told him instead of the police, and they basically had only another few minutes before the building blew up. It's
no such authority.
Yeah. Hey, can we get back to airplanes just for a second? Because I wanted to show you this. I don't know if you saw this story that actually came out a month ago.
Yeah, let me bring the show back around.
Just to show you what airlines are capable of. China has this budget carrier called Spring Airlines, and they are seeking permission to have passengers stand during a flight in exchange for a lower price. And I'm showing you a picture here of what it looks like. This is what passengers would actually be standing in the airplane the entire time and paying really, really low fares.
It's like a ride.
It's like an amusement park ride, probably a lot closer to that than you might think. These are things that you sort of weigh in on before they become reality. Otherwise, you may be facing a very unpleasant life. Imagine that, standing on airplanes. They don't care about your safety.
Well, they have people laying down. Mm-hmm. Now they have people sitting. They have more space, all kinds of sitting positions and standing. I mean,
well, laying down is a little bit different than standing up. I mean, you get a lot of space. That's first class. You know, people are well taken care of up there.
You stand on the subway.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But you're not hurtling through the air at 500 miles an hour.
Knots.
It's different. We can discuss it, but we only have a few minutes left. Anything else that you want to focus on? Well, let's see. There's that law in Indiana.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, the great state of Indiana.
Religious freedom. And today, Arkansas passed a similar bill on religious freedom.
Did they?
Now, okay, you might say religious freedom. That sounds like a good thing. Except when the religious freedom imposes on other people's rights, and in this particular case, gives people the freedom to basically discriminate against gays and lesbians because they don't approve of them in their religion. So that means if they wait tables, if they sell services or whatever, they can say, you know what, I'm not going to even acknowledge your existence because of who you are. And that's, you know, that's not religious freedom anymore. That's religious abuse. And I think the world is starting to see that. I think the country is certainly starting to see that.
I think it's good. I mean, I think it's good for people to snap back and get a little dose of reality. I think communities can be really insulated, and we forget sometimes. We think, oh, you know, there's all these generations and new things are totally different, and school and the older folks, you know, maybe, you know, all these marriages that are happening and all these pivotal moments and milestones, and we get to, you know, create these cities or these flourishing communities where, you know, diversity is embraced and all that, and we convince ourselves, yeah, it's a new age, yeah, it's a different time, yeah. Guess what? It's not.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
not to say don't be yourself, but consider who you're speaking to. Consider what you might be facing out there, because it's a lot of the same. As much as it's different, there's a lot of the same. A lot of the same stuff we've struggled through and seen across movements over the years.
But, you know, I actually am for this. The reason I'm for this is because it makes Republicans look so bad that they will have no chance whatsoever. At least I sure hope so. I don't know what it's going to take. But if it doesn't take this, then I think there's no hope. But this shows you the mentality of at least a key percentage of the party. And until they change who they are and what they stand for, they are not in sync with where the world is.
Simple thing
like the Indiana governor, all he has to do is say, yeah, you know, this law prohibits already people from discriminating based on things like race and religion. So you can't just say, oh, you're black, I'm not going to, you know, sell you a burger. That you can't do that under this religious freedom thing, because racial discrimination is exempted from that, as is all kinds of other forms of discrimination.
So blacks can hate queers, too.
Well, anybody can hate queers, yes.
Oh, anybody, it's equal
because
opportunity.
Because that is not one of the exemptions. And
good. Okay.
The governor has said that he will not sign anything that says that this will be an exemption. This is what another Republican, State Senator Bart Hester, said. If you start shaving out exemptions and laws, next thing you know, you'll gut the law because everyone will want an exemption. So, you know, it's considered special rights for these groups, you know, and you can't have that. So, you know, until they back down on that particular stance and say, yeah, we're going to add an exemption for gays and lesbians, this is going to be very, very interesting. You know, they're going to be boycotted. They are going to be gutted. Talk about gutted.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's absolutely, it's one of these, maybe a couple more of these kinds of, like, dare I say, like, linchpin type issues, mm-hmm. where it's just feels wrong on the outside, and the meat of it is really wrong too, and it's just, it gives you indigestion or something. I don't know. I think that they're going to be on thin ice if they can't make sense of what people really want out there.
That's right. Yes. We have to move kind of fast, but
okay.
Daily Show has a new host, Trevor Noah from South Africa.
What
do you
think
about that? That's, yeah, a surprise to me, too.
I love it. I mean, that's awesome to, we've never had anybody from that state, and, I mean, New York has had plenty of hosts, and, I don't see why we couldn't just...
South Africa being a state? Yeah, okay, that's good, yeah.
Well, that's not a state.
No, it's not a state. It's a whole different country.
I'm confused.
Yeah, well, basically, this guy is impressive. He speaks, what, 6 languages? He's been on The Daily Show before and impressed people, and I guess it's a bit of a surprise. Overwhelmingly positive response was announced.
I did read there's a little backlash, though.
There is a bit of backlash today, because there has to be backlash,
of course. It's the day after the announcement.
Yeah, and, okay, things are getting a whole lot less positive, in fact, because of things he has said in the past. Yeah, he has offended people. And can you imagine a comedian offending people? People have been digging around. They found posts about Jews, women, even blacks. Of course, he is black himself.
He had a post with a woman?
Well, I can read you what he said.
About Jews?
In September of 2009. Yeah, they went back a bit.
Okay.
This was a... I think this was a tweet.
It sounded like one tweet and reply.
Okay, I'll read you the tweet. All right, remember, this is him saying this, not me.
Sure.
All right. Almost bumped a Jewish kid crossing the road. He didn't look before crossing, but I still would have felt so bad in my German car. All right, you know, it's not the funniest joke in the world, but it is a joke. All right, deal with it. It's not a big deal. June 2010, this particular tweet read, South Africans know how to recycle like Israel knows how to be peaceful. Well, you know, that's just true, all right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they like their guns and their mandatory service and all that.
All right, much more recent tweet from July of 2014. Responding to another tweeter, her wrote, when a woman is loved correctly, she becomes 10 times the woman she was before. He retweeted that, but added, so she gets fat? That's funny. 10 times the woman she was, but she gets fat. Yeah, okay. It's offensive to people who are fat. It's offensive to people who feel victimized as women.
It works either way,
but you're
in my opinion.
Damn comedian. You're going to offend. If you don't offend people as a comedian, then you're not a good comedian, all right? And you shouldn't be offending people just for the sake of offending them. But really, people need to lighten up already. It's not the 1950s, okay? It's a little edgy out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're making mountains out of molehills.
Well, we'll just see if this guy gets politically corrected back to South Africa.
Oh, I'm sure he'll play off of it. It'll definitely come up, I think, in jest.
I hope so.
When he does his first show, I'm sure he'll address the criticism. But I'm excited. It'll be new. It'll be different. And, gosh, there's a lot of good programming.
Hey, Vice has a daily news show coming out on HBO. That's going
to
be cool.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's exactly what I was going to try to squeeze in. But, daily newscast from Vice. Imagine that, people. But
Things are changing. But, you know, there's still people that are upset that Vice is becoming so big. And, that, you know, it's that same thing we talked about before where we just criticize each other instead of the real enemy out there. And we have an opportunity to reshape media.
And
we're not going to have the opportunity tonight because we're out of time.
No, we're getting preempted because there's other media coming in. And, we need more of those kinds of avenues and expression. And it's exciting. It's exciting that they'll be out there, and I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry about that. I feel like I'm responsible. But while you're...
There's no time. There's so much to say.
Putting yourself back on track there, let me just say to the listeners that if you want to call us right after the show and pledge to the radio station, because we are in the middle of a fundraiser, please call 631-632-6901. One of us will probably answer, and we will take your pledge. But please support the radio station, because that's what gives us this opportunity to speak out.
Yes, and... yeah, there's a lot of new shows and a lot of radio shows and a lot of good speech and great things in this country, and it's for you and for me. That was my best try.
Good.
So long, everybody.
See you tomorrow at Whole Foods.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California. people. I saw my people. By the relief office, I see my people. As they stood there hungry, I stood there asking, is this land made for you and me?
And you and me and
you and you.
And welcome to Laval Stadium on the campus of Stony Brook University. This is Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse tonight. The Seawolves, who are now 7-2 on the season, will be taking on the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who are 2-6. A non-conference matchup, a midweek matchup, as you'll see a lot of in men's lacrosse during the regular season, and a good opportunity for the Seawolves to literally make hay while the sun shines. Well, it's not really shining right now. As a matter of fact, precipitation coming down, it looks a bit snowy. It was raining all day, but this stuff I can actually see. Regardless, they're playing lacrosse tonight on the field turf, and let's see what the conditions are going to be like during the course of the evening. I'm Matt Mankiewicz, of course. I will be bringing you all the action today from Laval. And once again...